I would appreciate your prayers tonight. Still glad to be here with you all. I'd like to start in Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis. You ever think about how great God is? I would be surprised if you're here and you haven't had that thought of how absolutely great God is. It's beyond our understanding, I think. And the scripture says that he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I can think of a lot of stuff, Brother Clint. But he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. But I can think of a lot of things and ask for a lot of things and all that, and yet he can do exceedingly and abundantly above that. And I want you to know today that God has not diminished in the ages that's been from the great miracles. He's still a miracle working God. And his arm is not shortened. His ears aren't dull to our prayers. His eyes are still seeing. His mercy endures. And his love is uncontested. One of the foundations or fundamental beliefs or faith that we have as Christians is that God did create everything. That God is creator of everything that we know and can see. I remember a few years ago they was dedicating the big scope there in Green Bank. It's an observatory, radio observatory, and they was dedicating it, and of course our late beloved Senator Byrd was the financial guy behind. He's the one that manipulated the monies at the time, and he got the government funding for it, and they built this big scope on it, and he was a religious man. He was a believer, and when they went to do the dedication, he got to have a speech, and nobody could say he couldn't because he was going to be the one that was getting the money for him. So nobody would dare say anything to him anyway. And he was there breaking it. Brother Jim told us that he was there at the dedication, and Senator Byrd got to speak a little bit. And this is what he said to all of those guys that had their minds out there with everything. He said, "I don't know what you're looking for, and I don't know what you'll find. But I want to tell you this. That whatever you're looking for and whatever you find, God made it." Well, okay, that's good, because that's what we have to believe, because if God didn't do it, we would be faced with a great challenge. How did it get there and who did it? We don't have to be challenged by that. We know that God did it. Now I want to do a little exercise I've done before, but I want to develop our minds a little bit to the message that I have tonight. And it goes like this. If you was to go out here anywhere in the yard here or out here in the woods, and I don't know if you've ever pondered these things about how creative God really is. But if you go out here and dig down in, say, a cubic yard of soil right out here, you go down a yard and over a yard back, and you get out a cubic yard of materials, counting what's on top of it and all of this stuff in it, and if you could do it and you could look at it all under a microscope, you would find out that there is an uncountable, unmeasurable amount of moving life in that. That you wouldn't know what it is or to recognize it, but there is more different kind of bugs and bacterias and funguses and living organisms within that than you could ever be able to understand with your human brain in only a cubic yard. In only a cubic yard of it would be more than you. You could study it for a thousand generations and never get to the bottom of all of that's in that little cubic yard of it. It's an unbelievable amount of stuff that's in that. And that would only take up a cubic yard of Springfield, Ohio. Which is not very much of Springfield, which would tell you the great enormity of what God did in his creation, not to mention the oak trees, elm trees, maple trees. I could go on, the locust tree, hickory trees of different varieties, a bunch of different variety of oak trees, berry tree, all trees, brush, roses, bushes, all of these things. And not only that, the insect life is enormous. You can't, your mind would run out trying to understand the insect life in Springfield, Ohio. It is beyond your capability to understand the creating power that God did in that area. It's in Clark County. Springfield don't take in all Clark County by a long shot. There's a lot outside there. Actually, if you go to a cubic yard to this, I mean, and think about the whole county and what's within the streams, the salamanders, the crawfish, the various different kind of lizards and life, not to count the wildlife that's in you can't understand it. You don't even know at all that it's there. Unbelievable. How many counties is in Ohio? I'm from West Virginia. We have 55. I know that. But how many is in Ohio?
I'm from Ohio.
How many?
56
or 68. 88. It's 88? 88. We're only talking of one county, which it would be 88 counties in the state of Ohio. Now, we've moved from a little block of soil all the way to the whole state of Ohio. Can you imagine the multiplication that you don't even understand a cubic yard? You don't understand a cubic foot. There's too much life and movement in it. To expand that out to the state of Ohio, all the way from the western part, the outside of Dayton, all the way to the river, which West Virginia owns, by the way. It's West Virginia, the Ohio River. Think of what's in the Ohio River. Your mind would run out trying to understand what's in the Ohio River. I mean, the life and the movement and everything in it. And look at what little section. Hang on, because your mind can get really out of whack here with this to try to understand all of this. All right? We're only talking about the boundaries of one state in the United States, the 48 lower states. And think of spreading it out now to the United States of America, the aquatic life, the marine life, the in the rivers, the forests, the veritables from all the way from the Gulf of America all the way to the Canadian line. I mean, from east to west. Think of what's in that. You can't. You run out, and that's only in one country that does not take in the whole North America. Okay, let's take North America. We're expanding. Look at what that would encompass, and it's only a little part of the world, our earth. Think of our earth. Think of the greatness of the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Arctic Ocean. Think of what's under the ice sheet. Do we don't even know? Still today, as far as we've advanced, they still say we don't know what is in the deep trenches of the oceans. We can't. We've not been able to explore it and understand it. And every once in a while, an extinct animal comes back. Well, it wasn't really extinct, but we don't know that it's there. And so all of a sudden it pops up and says, wow, that was supposed to have been extinct 250 million years ago. And now I hear it pops up again. Think of that. And your mind will run out with the creating power of God. But we haven't even got a speck yet, folks. The Earth doesn't make up much of our solar system. Do you know that? The Earth is not a big part of our solar system. We're a dot in our solar system. And all the planets and their motions and everything that they do, it's an unbelievable thing. We don't even know the extents of what else is beyond that. But hold on. Our solar system is only one of an untold number of solar systems in the Milky Way galaxy that we don't even get close to understanding. As a young boy, I would look into the summer night. I didn't know much about the Lord, I'd say that, but a sense of awe would come over me, and a sense of what am I about, and to look into the depths of that. How could it be? How can it be? It's too magnificent. It's too big. I my mind runs out with it. Now, I'm going to tell you, no, we're part of the Milky Way galaxy. And it is said that in the seeable universe, that there is approximately 2 trillion galaxies. How big is God? I'm going to ask you. How big is God? Did God exhaust himself in 6 days? Did he run out? He couldn't do no more. Did he exhaust himself? Is it possible for something, a creation, to be more powerful and bigger than the guy that created it? And if this is true, it's true, then what does it mean? And how should we respond? Is it not an impossibility to say God can't help me? If I look at the greatness of God, can I say with this great God that he can't give me the power to live above my flesh, myself? Can I say that it's impossible for me to, it's impossible for that person to change. They'll never be able to get the change they need. Or is it impossible that our faith in a God, I think it's 1 John that says that everything was created by him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, everything was created by him, and there was nothing made that was made that wasn't made by him. He made it all. And folks, he made you. And there's nobody that understands all of the workings and all the mathematical concepts that runs the whole universe. Nobody knows it except for the Lord. And nobody knows who you are better than the Lord does. He knows you, exactly you. Altogether, he knows you. And here is the big kicker of it all. He did not explain himself necessarily in the great terms of that. He said and expressed himself this way: God is love. Wow, this mighty creating God, above all of it, all that you can say about him, he has a definition to him. God is love. And he loves us. He loves you. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And why should I doubt it? If I can look into the summer sky and look at the things that are so far beyond me, how could I doubt that God can do something for me? So here in first chapter of Genesis, I want to pick up a little thought here about God. It says in the 27th verse, well, maybe I should go back to 26. 26, it says, and God said, let us, the plural God, said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over all the creeping things that creep upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. So that now that God puts a little definition and an idea here, this great God looked down in the creation of man and he said, he didn't say it about anything else. He said it about nothing else. But he said it about man, his crowning creation. He said of it, let us make it in our own image. Well, there's been a lot assumed about that, said about that. But the image I believe that he was talking about was the image that God is altogether holy. God is altogether right. He's altogether wise. He's altogether intelligent. He is the intelligence of the universe. And he puts it all together of purity, of holiness, of goodwill, of love. He puts that all together in his character and he creates with that. And he creates man with that. And he creates it in the same image. We are created intelligence. You know that? We got a brain above all things else. We got a brain, an intelligence, a way to think and rationalize and be able to do it. And what was he wanting out of that? What did he do out of that? What did God do with his great intelligent mind? What did he do with his great power? And what did he do with it? He says, I'm going to make man in my own image. God created. Think about this. I read this recently and I've studied on it quite a bit. A part of the image that God created us in and mankind, and see if it isn't true, was to take the substances that God made and gave us and make something out of it. God never built no great buildings, but man took God's stuff and did it to the glory of God, which is what the Lord wants us to do with it. But he gave us the ability to be able to figure something will stand better if you put it right straight on top of one another. Will you level, will you square, you do that, you learn. We're able to create things. I marvel at Brother Rick, don't embarrass him, but he makes pens and he creates. He takes material and he makes something out of it. And there's carpenters that build and there's masons that build. And my wife, I'm always think about this scripture when they're sitting in doing crafts. They take some paper of different colors and it's just orange paper, but all of a sudden it's a pumpkin. They take a brown piece of paper and make a leaf, and now it's a leaf and a pumpkin, and you create things, and they take cloth and they make aprons and they have designs on it and they do that. And doesn't it seem like every child wants to create something? Doesn't it seem like everybody wants to build and make something? God made us in his own image, and why shouldn't we be that? We should be intelligent. We should be able to work and do and build. And you can look around the world. Everybody's done it. All cultures have tried to build something that's unique. And the ancient cultures wanted to build something that's lasted to generations. There's Egyptian pyramids that's been there for thousands of years because somebody had a creating ability. God made us to think and to be able to put it together and understand math and power square and things to be able to build and to work. And God gave us the intelligence to do it. You know, God wants to still create. God wants to make something. Every one of us. And when we look down and say, but now we're a part of a fallen people. We're not no longer like Adam in the position that Adam was in, created in the image of God with a pure heart and a mind and the things that they have. We don't have that anymore. But God wants to rebuild that. God wants to make that in every one of our lives. He wants to create it. And did you know God wants us to create that? He wants us to have the same creation idea. He wants us to build in our own life something that's steady and sound. And we need the materials, Lord. Give me faith. Give me the ability to make something. David got himself in trouble, as we're well aware of. But if you look at the 51st Psalm, the 51st Psalm was David's repentance after his deal with Bathsheba and Uriah, and remember that? And it's one of our go-to places to say, this is how you repent. Because David repented with a pure heart. He did not put the blame on somebody else. You know, Adam, he blames Eve, and he blames the serpent. And right on down, God, you did it. You gave me this woman. I blame that. David didn't do any of the blame game. He said, my sin is ever before me. But I think in about the 10th verse of the 51st chapter, he says something like this. He said, create in me, O Lord, a clean heart. Create in, I don't have a clean heart. And I recognize that I don't have a clean heart anymore. And I want a restored spirit, renew in me. A right spirit, because I once had that. I had built that. I had it in my life. I was interested in the things and the right things, and I pursued the right things, but I let myself get off, and I followed the ways of flesh and of the man, and I brought a scar upon my soul, and I feel the weight and the pain of it. So he says, and he cries unto God, create. Create again, Lord. Create. Create. You're the creating, the mighty creating God. Create in me a clean heart. My heart's not clean. Create in me. Isn't that beautiful? Create in me a clean heart. I've been scarred. I have a wrong spirit. You know, any of us can do that. Let's be real. We're all close to it all. We don't run the universe. We need God. We need God to work with us and help us in this thing. And God, this is what God wants to do. He wants to make us what He'd have us to be. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. We are a new creature, which is a part created creature. We're created in newness of life, a new creation. This is what the Lord come to do. Everybody that preaches some kind of I'm the same when I get through is a wrong preaching. It's, you're not the same when you get through. Jesus is dynamic in our lives. He changes our hearts. He changes our desire. He makes us anew again. We can have a newness of life. Thank God. I mean, really, thank God. It's the message. It's the message that your heart can be made pure again. When you have those things, you can desire and want it, and God can fulfill that. And a God that can create a trillion galaxies. I don't even know what that means. 2 trillion galaxies? How many stars and planets and moons and how many's in a galaxy? I have no idea. The number gets on me. But the claim is that there's 2 trillion galaxies in the known universe. Any God that can do that can make me a new creature. Lord's mercy hasn't run out in 2025. He's still a merciful God. Sometimes we wonder, I think it's one of the great challenges, we wonder why bad things happen to good people. You ever hear that? Why does bad things happen to good people? Well, I can't answer all the questions about it, but this is one thing I can say about it. God wants to create something special out of you. And He's got a way to do it. And who are we? Do you remember how, I think it was Job that the Lord, after Job started dealing with the Lord a little bit, that Job said to him, all right, Job. Now Job was a righteous man for his day. And the Lord had told Satan to consider him. He was right in his day. But Job had some things in there too. And Job started saying some certain things about him. And the Lord answered Job like this. Where was you at when I built everything? Where was you at when I made everything? Job, if I was hungry, would I ask you for something to eat? Job, where was you at when I made the elephant? The whale, I think it was. Where were you at when I made all this stuff? And do you know how it was done? What do you know about it? This was God's answer to him. Who are we to tell God how to make something? The clay doesn't say to the potter, I should be made this way or that. Lord, make me into the vessel that you'd have me to be. Our part of this, folks, there's a part for God to play and there's a part for us to play. We can't do God's part and He won't do ours. Our part is to surrender ourselves because He gave us a will and He asked of us. I'm going to leave you with the will. You can do whatever you want to, but I'm asking you, give yourself to me and I'll make you new. I'll change the things in your life that's wrong. I'll deal with you in your wrong. But as a human, I just can't hardly get there. I can't get it, and I need things sometimes. And sometimes I need for a bad thing to happen to me. I need a challenge sometimes. I can't move off of the place that I'm on. It's too comfortable. I'm in a place that I don't know what to do or how to do it. And the Lord wants to speak to us sometimes. And this is the only way that He can speak. And He wants to make something out of us. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, uh, 45th verse, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Okay. Now, I want to make a point about this, and I don't think there's anything wrong or errored about the way it's mainly used, is to say that, oh, Jesus is the pearl of great price. The only problem is that that's not what it's saying. The kingdom of heaven is not like a pearl. If it would have said the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl, that would be saying that Jesus is like a pearl that we should go sell all and get. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man. Or in other words, Jesus is a merchant man. And He seeks goodly pearls. Now, what possibly could be to the Lord so important that He would call them a pearl? You and I look at humanity sometimes with scoff and with scorn. Jesus doesn't see people with scoff and scorn. He sees them by the grace of God and the great power of God to work in a heart and redeem it. He sees it as a pearl. And He sees it of great price. Great price. Brother, sister, you are of great price to the Lord Jesus. You are a pearl to Him. You may not be a pearl to one another. And sometimes it's hard to look at humanity as a pearl. But it's a pearl not made yet. But God knows how to make pearls out of men. And there was a man one time called Saul, who was going around. He was Pharisee of the Pharisee by his own words. He was persecuting the church because he was ignorant about what it was. And he was going around doing that. And he was even persecuting women and children. That's how it got down to it. He was even persecuting women and children. And the Lord looked down on this man's life and knew how to arrest him in his course and change the life that he was going and change him around until he made a pearl out of Paul. This old guy that was, the saints was afraid of him, and he had power and authority to persecute him to death and do all these things to him. And the Lord got a hold of that man's heart and changed him completely around. And now is he not only not a persecutor, he is the great apologist of the Christian movement. He became the defender of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a change. It took the great creating power of God to change a man like that. Men, you can't change. Come on. Men, you can't change people. We like to try to change one another by twisting arm and pressure and making us feel bad and all. We can't change anything. God is the great changer of life. And He wants to make a pearl out of us. Now, here's the dynamics. You know, they say, I have no reason to doubt it. A oyster, see, it opens and closes all. It can get particles, sand, or whatever in there. And if anything irritates it inside it, it starts releasing these compounds. It happens in other things. It's a different compound, but it happens in a lot of things to arrest that, to keep it from harming the organism, the clam, the oyster. And so it starts, it's called mother of pearl. I don't remember what the agent is. It's called mother of pearl. But it's what's released that tries to encapsulate. And it only happens if there's an irritant. There has to be something that irritates it inside it. And when it starts irritating it, it will try to rescue itself from danger and harm. And it will start secreting and it will start forming a pearl. And the pearl is only created in irritation. And God wants to make pearls out of us. Now, how are you going to become a pearl? Why does good things happen, bad things happen to good people? God doesn't do bad things. It's just the understanding that has it. Sometimes God allows irritants into our life because he looks and says, they're not fit for the crown that I want them to be in. I want to put them as pearls in my crown. I want to be able to use them in my kingdom. I want them to shine. I want them to be glossy. I want them to have this. They were always valued, a pearl of great price. So this merchant man goes seeking goodly pearls. And when he finds one of great price, he did what he does. And here's the story. He gave his life that he might obtain it. For us. He gives himself for us. And he died for us that he might be able to transform us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Into the kingdom of his dear son. He died that he might do that. And he forever works with you and I. And when there's an irritation or there's something that happens or something like that, we need to know, I need to submit myself to the change in Isaiah, David did. Lord, create in me a clean heart and make in me a right spirit again. Have you ever prayed? I know we've prayed a lot this way. Have you ever prayed, Lord, make me to be what you'd have me to be? I think there's even a song in our book, isn't it, that says something. Make me to be what you'd have me to be. Create in me something that I can't create into myself. I can say, I want to do better. I can look at my life and say, you know what, I need to do better. But I'm an awful weak character. Without the Lord, I just can't maintain it. And the Lord said of us, it said in about the 15th chapter of John somewhere through there, he said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And if you're not hooked, he said, without me. If you're hooked to me, you can bear much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. God can make something out of us when we surrender ourselves and give ourselves over to him. And he did it with those that was willing to do it. You think what it would have been like to live with them disciples, the apostles. They became great men, converted and changed. What do you think about living with them that they was trying to get? Now think about it. There were some of them that wanted to set higher seats than the other. You think that goes along well with, you think that works well? I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to cause a lot of dissension. Then you had old Peter. Peter was always presumptuous and sticking himself out there and doing stuff. And people that was more laid back, that would have irritated him to no point of return. And he was always doing this and that and getting himself in trouble and thinking that he was something that he wasn't. If you'll remember, he rebuked the Lord even when the Lord thought he rebuked him. Not so, Lord, ain't going to happen. But you just saw the creator of the universe and the creator of 2 trillion galaxies. You just saw him turn water to wine. You saw him heal the lame man. The blind man sees, and you see the leper walk and healed. And you see all this stuff, and now you're trying to tell him you know better than he does. But that was him. It didn't have to remain him. It didn't remain him. Because there come a day that he got something more than that. He got a divine touch that changed those things. You remember that he was the one that the Lord said before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And Lord, and Peter said, no. No. Couldn't believe it. I know what I feel. I know who I am. You know who you are? I know what I want to be. I know what I think I am. I know all of those kind of things. And the Lord comes along and says, you're not. And you'll deny me. When he was standing there in the presence of the Lord and he felt the power and he felt the security and he knew what he would do and all that, but he didn't realize it ain't always sitting in church service. You ain't always got your buddies around you. All of a sudden, it's not sun ain't shining now, and you lose your courage sometime in the night. And now it's in the middle of the night, and you don't have friends with you, you have foes with you. And now the thing starts changing. Your heart ain't the same as you thought you was, and now you start getting the realization. And he started. Not only did he just say, "No, I don't know him," he ended up swearing. He actually swore. He swore and said, "I don't know you." He did that. And about that time, the cock crows, and he remembers the word of the Lord. The Lord. There he is, the Lord. And he sees those things, and that ain't what I want to be. That's not what I want to be. He couldn't stand up. He couldn't stand up up against that pressure. He didn't have it. He hadn't been created for it yet. Folks, he didn't have the power to do it. It wasn't that he didn't want to. He didn't have it. But there come a day that he had it. He just didn't have it then. The Lord encouraged him. Lord encouraged him, Peter. Come on along here. There come a day, history says. You think of the difference of a man that could not stand. He said he thought he would. But the scripture also says in one place that all the disciples said it too. And they all run too. But Peter was at the forefront. History says that when it come down to the time they were going to put him to death, that he requested that they not crucify him upside right, like the Lord was, that he wasn't worthy, and history says that he was crucified upside down at his own will. He chose it. Of course, I think he always wanted to show the Lord. I mean it now. I mean it. I got it. Yes. I've been created something that I never was before. Do you know, folks, that we are a creation of God in the Spirit? We are a creation of God. We can't create this. You can't mimic it. Oh, people try to mimic it, but you can't do it. You can't really make it. You have to be created with it. And God can create us to have it for real. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to change the things in our life. I don't mean to any way sound critical, and I can point myself fingers at myself as much as anyone else with things. Sometimes I wonder, and I see folks that obviously have issues, and they've been around, and I've often questioned the Lord. Well, they've been saved for 50 years, and they, Lord, have you not dealt with them about this? I mean, what's the issue here sometimes? And it's not the Lord's fault. It's not the Lord's fault. Sometimes there's people that's just 30, 60, and 100. Sometimes that's just true. You only get some. And as leaders, we need to recognize that and say, bring your 30 and let's go. And we'll work with whatever. And you've got to be there for that. But there is places and times that the Lord wants to deal with something. The Lord wants to change something. I want to make a pearl here. And sometimes the irritants and the things that happen is they're trying to get our attention to. We will say, Lord, what is it? What is it that frustrates me? What is it that this? Make something special out of this moment of my life. Lord, I am not able to do anything with it, but you can take these moments, these things, and you can make something that is real. Brother Jim White at home used to always say that Saul was chosen to be king, but David was made king. Because if you remember, it was fascinating. They anointed David to be king, but he wasn't king. He was anointed for the future to be king, but he wasn't king. And instead of him being king, he's chased by the king. Instead of him actually getting his kingship, Saul's trying to kill him. And instead of living in the comfort of the palace, he's living in the wilderness. And he's chased around and he's doing all these things and saying, oh, why, man, at one point he's even in a cave and Saul's men's around him and he's in the cave with this prayer saying, Lord, Lord, basically it said this if you get into the wording of it. I can't quote it, but what he was meaning is, how can I glorify you in here? I've got this great testimony that God delivers and helps and sung all these songs and wrote all this and told my men, and now we're cowering down in this cave. Lord, deliver us out of here so that we can glorify your name again. Here was the one that slew the giant. Here's the one that wrote the Psalms. Here was the one that had the great victories. And the Lord had him stuck in a cave with the enemy around him and he couldn't get out. And he's saying, what? I'm supposed to be king. You ain't material to be king, David. You ain't material to be king. give me your ends of your rope and I'll make a king out of you. I'll teach you how to treat people. I'll teach you how to live things. Well, I want to be a preacher. I want to be a leader. Hold on. You ain't ready. You need to go through some schooling before you get to that kind of place. You need to know well how to humble yourself in circumstances. Really well. Because it's going to be the key to your success that you can humble yourself. And you don't know how to. And I want a pearl. I want to make a pearl. So I'm going to give you the irritants and I'm going to give you the school lessons. And you're going to have to go through this. And when you get through, you're going to be able to say, glory to God. Not by my own hand or my own strength and nothing I ever done. But now I can say, I know the Lord. I'm able to do this because the Lord gave me power and strength to do something I can never do in myself. Isn't that the great miracle? I remember my sister, Robin, she one time called me and said, Marty, the Lord has done the greatest, this is the way she said it, the greatest miracle. I said, hold it. This is a challenge. What could be the greatest miracle? And I said, well, he opened the Red Sea. That's a big one. You know, that's a big miracle. Now, wait a minute. In the Old Testament, the greatest miracle has been said that when he stopped, the sun stopped. Because that not only dealt with the ocean or the sea, the Red Sea, but he stopped the solar system in a sense. You mean because he stopped and made it goes back 7 degrees. So that's a miracle. And I'm saying this to the sister. These great miracles. These are all great miracles. What is the greatest miracle that he done? She said, he changed me. Hallelujah! He changed me. I've always responded a certain way, and I've been praying, and I've always responded that way, and I never could get victory, and all of a sudden, and I prayed, and this thing happened, and I didn't respond that way again. Glory to God, God has changed me. What a miracle, one that matters, it makes a difference. Do you know, when we start saying Christianity, but it's got these elements in it. Well, these don't get along, and the husband and wife get along, and all this, and it's Christianity. Well, wait a minute. There's a God that wants to change who we are. And when we're sincere about that, and we pray as David did, Lord, create. You know what he's saying? I'm not able. I'm not able to do it. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Now, that sounds like lightning and thunder to us sometimes. That's the way we want miracle. That's the way we want to be changed, right? I would rather say, I got these issues, Lord. I'll write them down or I'll pray them before I go to bed tonight. And when I wake up in the morning, somewhere between bedtime and getting up, I've been changed. And I can get up and say, I'm changed. That's not the way the Lord does it. The Lord sets it up and says, here it is. Pursue it. Follow it. Pray for it. Yearn for it. Desire it. And I got it for you. I can change it. And here's the way it's got to happen. Lightning and thunder is real good, but that's not the way it happens. The way it happened is line upon line many times, trial upon trial, and it's getting to the place that we get so desperate. Desperate for the new creation. We get desperate to it. We say, Lord, I'm going to let loose of everything that keeps me there. I'm letting loose of it. Create in me a clean heart. Change who I am and make me a different person because I can't change it myself. And I recognize I'm always this way. I've always been this way. I've got it from mom and dad. I got it from grandma and grandpa. I've got it from the social structure around me. I got it. This is, I can't get rid of it. But oh God, create in me and make me something different. And the Lord done that for all the apostles and all of their carnality that kept popping up and all of their desires for different things and all of that. And the Lord done a work in them. They're at Pentecost and when the dawn of the church age and these people got a hold of something and a power that changed them and they started thinking different. They started acting different. They had a different heart towards things. And it was a change in them. And when I say there, it isn't always instant that way either. There's a work, but it is an instant, that's for sure. And it goes, follows us all of our life sometimes. And the Lord will point something out even when we're older and say, here's something that you need to work with. There's a reason you're supposed to tie the sacrifice to the altar, wasn't there? There was horns on it, wasn't there? There was a way to tie that thing down. You know why you had to tie the sacrifice to the altar? Because it's always wanting to get up, take off. You tied it down so it couldn't go. Sometimes you make an offer, you make a deal, and you say, this is what I'd have. And, oh, you've heard me tell it, but several years ago I had a guy so mad at me that he got his gun, and he had his gun stuck up to my head, and his teeth was... He was gritting his teeth and angry and going to pull the trigger and all. He was doing all these things, and the Lord protected me. And he started trying to pull me out of the truck, and he tried to beat me and tried to hit me, and he couldn't even hurt me. He never even hurt me. I never felt any nothing, and he couldn't hurt me, couldn't pull me out of the truck. And all I did was sat there, and he couldn't do nothing. The Lord protected me totally. But you know, after that, I know what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I know the ways of the Lord. I know you don't return evil for evil. I know it's bad to think bad thoughts and all of that. And I had perfect victory when it was happening. And I didn't do anything but bless him. But I'll tell you, after that, in the still of the night sometime and driving the long miles and all those kind of things, thoughts would start into my head. And I was violated and all these things that come into my... And I thought I had that took care of last week. And I thought I had to take care of it again. And you know what? I had to pray for a long time. And every time it come back, I'd have to say, no, Lord, create in me a forgiving heart. Lord, help me to forgive him even if he don't ask. Lord, help me to have a right spirit in me, because this thing can destroy me. The devil wasn't, I mean, he tried to destroy my body. But this guy was, the devil wanted to destroy my soul. It came up a number of times, and I can say to this day, I got the victory because of the Lord. Not because of me, but because the Lord done something in my heart. I got the victory, and I can tell you right now, the only desire I have for him is good, and I want him to be saved. I hope that he gets saved. The greatest blessing to me would be if the Lord would save me. Him. I would love to be able to be with him and him get saved. Now, wouldn't that be victory to shout about? But you got to create a new heart for that. That's not human. That's not the way we respond to things. Create in me a clean heart and make in me a right spirit. I thought it was so profound that Charlie Kirk's wife said, young man, I forgive him, because that's the essence. We try to tell the world about Christianity. She showed it. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not hateful and ugly, but I'm going to tell you, you need to work in your heart for it. It ain't going to work just because you think about it. And you can still say it and not have it. And I'm going to tell you, I would say with her, if I could give her any kind of counsel, sister, you hang on to that and fight for it, because you're going to be contested with that. When things get hard and you're crying on your pillow at night, you fight for that. Because the devil's going to contest you with it. But the Lord can create in us a clean heart. And he can make in us a right spirit. And it can happen after the great failures. David was a man of God and after God's own heart. And he failed big time. There is no blacker sin in the scriptures than David's failures. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He about committed it all in one time there. He went a long ways, and it's as dark as it can get. And he done it to a good man too. He done it to a righteous man, and it was terrible what he done. But aren't you glad that there's a God that can forgive and make different? And aren't you glad that there's a way back and he can make a full repentance? And he done it right. And folks, I'll give you the same way. You ever get into a place that you really, and you're sincere about it and you need to do it, you go to the 51st Psalm and follow that, because he wasn't laying it to anybody else. Lord, my sin is against you and only you. And it is ever before me. Some people say, well, you going to forgive me and all this kind of stuff. Well, you just leave that to them, brother, and you own it. And you own it forever. And when you hurt somebody, you say, I will forever be sorry for it. Forgiveness is real, but I will always show that I wish I had done that. Repentance says that. I don't want to ever do it again. Lord, give me power. Give me strength to be what I should be. And only God can do that. And I want to just, in closing, say that there is nobody in the scripture that followed the Lord that the Lord didn't do something for him and create something else in him. You go back to Jacob when he wrestled with the Lord. You remember when he got his hip put out of place? He was desperate to be different than he was. He was a supplanter and a deceiver, and he was desperate to be something else. And God made him something else because he wrestled for it. And that's the way it's always has been. And what's Moses say? Well, I can't say, I can't talk, I can't do that thing. Moses, come on, I made 2 trillion galaxies. Come on. I can surely make you speak. I can surely bless. Come on, get Aaron in. Come on. My work's there to do. I can change what needs to be changed. You'll be surprised what you can say and what you can do in the Lord. Now, believe it or not, I'm no singer. But I want to report this for the glory of God. Years ago, somebody may have remembered her a little bit, but it was Sister Tinsley. You remember Sister Tinsley? You remember of her? Yeah, she was an old lady that was bedfast. I want to be gentle with this, but she was bedfast kind of by her own accord. And she could time when she had spells. And if you had to work the next day, if nobody was there, she wouldn't have one. But if somebody was available to come and see her in the middle of the night, well, then she'd have a spell. And Brother Tony and Brother Sammons would always go up to her and sing with her and pray with her and spend time with her in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, they'd go up and do the deal with her. And so I told him one time, I want to be a servant of the Lord, and I was starting to preach and work, step out for the Lord. So I said, sometime when you can't come, I'd be glad to go sit with Sister Tinsley and do that. And I'd go up and pray with her and encourage her. And I was kind of excited about working for the Lord. So they're both gone. And she calls me, Brother Marty, you know, she's breathed hard and all that. Oh, I need help. So I went up to Sister Tinsley's and went up there and had prayer with her and all. And she said, can you sing for me? I said, Sister Tinsley, I'm really not a singer. I never grew up singing. Around my house, if you even sung with a song, somebody would tell you shut up so they could hear the song. That's the way it was at my place. But she said, well, Brother Tony sings for me, and Brother Salmon sings for me. And I said, well, Sister Tinsley, if you want me to sing, I'll sing, but that's all I can say. And I'm going to tell you something. I sung good. The Lord blessed it. The Lord blessed it. There was a few songs that I know, and I started singing, and she said, well, Brother Marty, you sing. And I thought, I'm hitting the, I don't even remember hitting the notes like that before. I mean, it just flowed, and I could sing like that. And well, why not? He made 2 trillion galaxies. Can he not make a guy sound right? I mean, he made people speak, and other people heard it in a different language. Can he not make my singing sound good, even if it's not? Yes, he can. All we got to do is be faithful to the Lord. Lord, create. Create. You're a creating God. And you made a creating people. Help us with a creation to create God's kingdom. We should be interested in the creation of God's kingdom with our abilities. We should give it to the creation of God's kingdom because we're created in His image. And we're intelligent and we're to be wise and to know how to do things and to know how to put things together. And so we can use that to the glory of God to create something beautiful. Beautiful homes, beautiful families, marriages that stay together. Beautiful things that we can create because God made us to be able to create. And He wants to create in us. And let's say this again and so you can think about it. You're supposed to be a pearl of great price. That's what He wants to make, a pearl of great price. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.